All right, we're going to get started here. This is Pastor Lynn, LTS, Semester 2. This is the Gifts of the Spirit. And we're going to do this in two parts because there's so much. I will probably address the second part on a Tuesday night, probably the next Tuesday night, and we'll do that along with the topic we're supposed to do at that point. So hopefully you're hearing this okay. We're doing this by remote here, and you should be able to pick this up online. So we are going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and these are not natural gifts. These are spiritual, supernatural gifts of the Spirit. In other words, the gifts of healing are not, as some people would say, doctors and nurses, as great as doctors and nurses are. That is not what they're talking about here. We're talking about supernatural gifts of healing or whatever we're speaking of. So I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians 12. We want to look at verses 1 to 3. In Young's literal translation. Now, the reason I am speaking from there right now in this passage is because it is probably one of the closest translation. It's not a paraphrase, it is a translation. And there's a very important phrase that we need to look at, and that's the very first thing he starts talking about in verse 1. In every other almost translation, it's saying, now about the spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be misinformed. That's amplified. But if you go over into the Young's literal translation, verse 1 reads like this, and concerning the spiritual things, brethren, I do not wish you to be ignorant. Concerning spiritual things, he says. In this chapter, he distinguishes between, and it's not just gifts, but he's distinguishing between gifts, ministries, and operations. He doesn't want us ignorant of this. That's what he's saying here in the first verse. I don't want you misinformed. I don't want you ignorant. Concerning his gifts and the workings of the Lord. No one in the Spirit of God, no one, and that's in verse 3, so we're going to read 2 and 3 and then we'll talk about that. You know that when you were heathen, you were led off after idols that could not speak habitually as impulse directed and whenever the occasion might arise. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit can ever say, Jesus be cursed. And no one can really say, Jesus is my Lord, except by and under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Young's literal says, verse 2 and 3, you have known that you were nations under the dumb idols as you were led. It doesn't always sound like a smooth English sentence, but it's more accurate. Being carried away, wherefore I give you to understand that no one in the Spirit of God speaking says Jesus is anathema, and no one is able to say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So here he says that no one in the Spirit of God, speaking by the Spirit of God, will say that Jesus is cursed. So there are two things when the Holy Spirit is manifesting. Number one, Jesus will be glorified. And number two, the body of Christ will benefit if it's really a manifestation of the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us to prove all things, test them. Why does he tell us to do that? We're not to despise what's going on, but we do need to test it. The reason for that being is there are different spirits. There are evil spirits. There is our own spirit. There is the Spirit of God. Don't just swallow it when someone says they have a revelation. Test it by the written word. There's two things. By the written word. The written word has to agree with whatever they're telling you. And the second thing would be by the Holy Spirit that's in you. Check inside. The Holy Ghost knows if He showed them a revelation, don't you think? So it may be new to the head, something you haven't heard, but it's familiar to your heart. And in the church, there has been either error or nothing. Things can, because what happens is we just don't understand the things of the Spirit. We don't understand the things of the Spirit. And so things can be by the Holy Spirit inspired, or they can be by the wrong spirit inspired, or it can be flesh inspired. So then go down to verse 4, and he says in the Young's translation, there are diversities of gifts and the same Spirit. So there's diversities of gifts, and then in 5 it says, and there are diversities of ministrations. Well, what's ministrations? Ministries. And it says then in verse 6, and there are diversities of workings, which is operations, but, and it is the same God who is working all in all. It's the same God. So they're not all gifts, but they are all manifestations. And if something is manifest, it's revealed. That's what manifest it means, that it's revealed, it's shown, it's made known. The Spirit of God wants to show some things. He wants to reveal some things. Now, in verse 7, it says, and we're going to read down to 9, and to each hath been given the manifestation of the Spirit for profit. For to one through the Spirit has been given a word of wisdom, to another a word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith in the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing in the same Spirit. And we're going to go down through 10. And to another in workings of mighty deeds, and to another prophecy, and to another discernings of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, and all these doth work the one and the same Spirit, dividing to each severally as he intends. So three of these gifts reveal something. Three do something. And three say something. In verse 8, it talks about the word of wisdom. That's a supernatural thing. And to another, a word of knowledge. These are two of the revealing gifts, and the other is discerning of spirits. And we'll discuss that one later. Right now, we're going to talk about the gift, the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, which are two gifts. And then we're going to go to the discerning of spirits. On the second part of this, we will discuss the other six. But we're going to talk about the what we call the revelation gifts at this session. So all believers are to experience these manifestations in their life. When I first got filled with the Spirit, and we were in an Assembly of God church, not that they hold the only ones that do this, but I got the impression that the word of knowledge, especially the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, and also the discerning of spirits, were meant for the church service and the body ministry there. And that I never even heard of it being outside of that. Like, you know, maybe one-on-one when we're having a prayer, but not in day-to-day life. And so, all believers are to experience these manifestations in their life, and we shouldn't spectacularize these. We expect the supernatural to be like a fantasy. It's almost like speaking in tongues. So, when, you know, my sister, I got filled with the Spirit. We were both going to the Assembly of God Church at that time. And I got filled with the Spirit, but my sister did not want anything to do with tongue speaking because she thought that the Holy Ghost would just take over her and she'd be speaking in tongues in the grocery store. The fact that she was speaking is not the supernatural part. Let me tell you this, the source of the utterance is supernatural, the source where that tongue comes from, but we have to be obedient and speak it. If you don't, you won't speak it. So the Spirit giving utterance is the supernatural inspired. It's not learned. It's not something that you can learn, oh, I'm going to learn Chinese or Russian, or, you know, it says they speak with the tongues of angels and of men, and then, you know, just speak in that and people think, oh, listen, he's speaking in tongues, she's speaking in tongues. No, it's total supernatural. It's someone that doesn't know that language. And we actually have to yield. There's a Holy Spirit side, there is a human side. And we have to yield to the Spirit, or there will not be manifestations of the Spirit. So in our church services, that's important, because there's a lot of people in fear, either that they're not really getting a nudge from God and it's themselves, or they're just scared and they don't step out. So we need to be in faith, stepping out, and then our services will be just amazing. So we have to yield to that Spirit. The Spirit of God does not do it apart from me. He's the helper. He is not the doer. He's our helper. He was sent to be our helper. So we need to act on the promptings of the Spirit. When we do that, that's yielding. That is what yielding is, when we act and we get a prompting of the Spirit. Step out by faith to do what He deals with you to do. In any one of the, if you're doing that, if you're stepping out by faith and doing what He deals with you to do, any one of these nine gifts you could be used in. So, a word of knowledge. Knowledge means you know something, you're aware of it. The difference in a word of knowledge is it is not learned. It's revealed. It's not from something you were instructed in, or maybe you read something about it, but it's actually something that is revealed to you by God, by the Holy Spirit. And it's something that the Spirit of God knows that He revealed to you. So what He knows, then He turns around and reveals to you. You wouldn't have known it or have had any way to know it. It's not reasoning, it's revelation. A word is a fragment of a sentence. God does not reveal all. He would blow your mind if He revealed everything to us at once. Plus, He wants you to walk by faith, so He'll give you a word and then expect you to act on it. And then a little further down the road, you may get another word, because He wants you to walk by faith. Nobody else can tell us, but He can. There are things that He can reveal to us. Nobody else can. He lives in us, and He can reveal it to us straight out of His Spirit and into your mind. You didn't know it before, and now you do. This is part of our growing up. We're growing into mature sons and daughters of God. And so we need to do things kingdom way. If He bears witness and lets us know that we are sons and daughters of God, then He can let us know certainly and reveal where to go to buy. Maybe you're in the market for a car or a freezer or something large, or maybe it's even a job decision that you have to make. You don't need a reason not to do something. You need a leading to do it. So some word of knowledge examples, both Old Testament and New. So that's a supernatural revelation of things known to God. The word of knowledge can come through a revelation. We did talk of that, where He gives you a revelation. Also through a dream, a vision, a tongue, because it can come through on someone's tongue. Word of wisdom is different from the word of knowledge. We talked about word of knowledge. Well, the word of wisdom has to do with future and the plan of God. Now, a lot of times, one single instance, you could have word of wisdom and word of knowledge working in tandem with one another in the same revelation. So, but that's the difference, is word of knowledge is knowing something that you had no way of knowing except by the Spirit of God. And word of wisdom is very present in very present time. But the word of wisdom has to do with the future and the plan of God, what God's plan of God is in the future. So what is the greatest gift of all? Of all these nine gifts, what is the greatest gift? The one you need at that time, at that given time in your life. You know, you might need a word of wisdom. You might need a gift of faith. You might need that word of knowledge. Let's go to John chapter 4. We're going to look at this in operation. John chapter 4. Okay, we're going to start in verse 16. This is where the woman's at the well. Jesus is at the well, and he said to her, "Give me give me a drink?" Jesus said, "Give me a drink," in verse 7. And so then they proceeded to have a conversation about water and thirst, and he's the water, he's the well of water for us. And then when you get to verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back here." The woman answered, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have spoken truly in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the man you are now living with is not your husband. In this you have spoken truly." The man that she was living with was not her husband. Well, what do you think this lady thought? She was thinking, how does he know this? This is the word of knowledge in the present time. Well, then, if you go down, the woman said to him, "Sir, I see and understand that you are a prophet. Our forefathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where it is necessary and proper to worship." And they go on and talk about God as a spirit, and you must worship him in spirit, in truth. In verse 25, the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ, the Anointed One. And when he arrives, he will tell us everything we need to know and make it clear to us." And then Jesus in verse 26 said, I who now speak with you am he," taking the blinders off of her so that she knew that this was who she was talking to. Now, turn over to Luke 22, and we'll look at something different. Luke 22, and verse 8. The disciples were here. They were getting ready to celebrate Passover. And they usually had a place to go do that. And so in verse 8, it says, "So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare for us the Passover meal that we may eat it.' They said to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare it?' And he said to them, 'Behold, when you have gone into the city, a man carrying an earthen jug or pitcher of water will meet you.'" What is this? This is something, yeah, they could not have known, but it's what is going to happen in the future, and it is of the plan of God. He's giving him very detailed information. And he says, verse 10, "A man carrying an earthen jug or pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him into the house which he enters. And say to the master of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' And he will show you a large room upstairs, furnished with carpets and with couches. properly spread there make your preparations. And they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they made ready the Passover supper. Don't you think this was one of those cases where they were marveling that he had told them all of that, and that was exactly the way that it was? That's exactly what happened. He told them who to meet, details, timing for this to work out. Come on. They had to be at the exact right place at the exact right time for this to work out, right? So he told them even what to say. But in verses 11 and 12, we see the word of wisdom, the future and plan of God, where he says, say to the master of the house, the teacher asks you, where is the guest room where I may eat? And he'll show you a large room upstairs. This is word of wisdom. Does this still happen today? Yes. Remember in Acts when Peter was in a trance and three men came? He was told, three men are going to come. You need to go with them. Well, how did they know? Was it through their five physical senses? It hasn't happened yet. It's in the future. So Jesus told us that he was sending us another comforter and that he would show, in other words, reveal, revelation, and lead and guide into things that are to come. This belongs to all believers who have the Spirit of God, who are filled with his Spirit. This belongs to all believers, not just those in ministry or just prophets. Now go to Acts chapter 9. And verse 10. Now this is after Saul's Damascus Road experience. And if you remember, he was blinded, and they had to lead him away from there. And he was unable to see for 3 days and neither ate nor drank anything. He also had a very bad reputation for persecuting the Christians. So in verse 10, now there was in Damascus a disciple named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, calls him by name. And he answered, here am I, Lord. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to a street called Straight. This is a street called Straight. That's the name of it. And ask at the house of Judas for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying there. Cornelius had a vision. He never met Peter. He didn't know Peter. He was in Joppa. And he said where he was staying and what the guy's occupation is. The more we pray in the Spirit, the more we yield to these things, the more we will have, the more things we will know, be revealed. And in verse 12, he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias enter and lay his hands on him so that he may regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many people tell about this man, especially how much evil and what great suffering he has brought on your saints at Jerusalem. Now he's here and has authority from the high priest to put in chains all who call upon your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for this man is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the descendants of Israel. For I will make clear to him how much he will be afflicted and must endure and suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias left and went into the house, and he laid his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you along the way by which you came here, has sent me that you may recover your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so here the manifestation of the Spirit was used. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. When he says he'll tell you what to do, that's a word of wisdom. He's giving them a word of wisdom. And if you look down in verse 19, after where we just read, it says about Saul, after he took some food, he was strengthened. For several days afterward, he remained with the disciples at Damascus. He was at Peter's side. He was with the disciples. So we have the word of knowledge. We have the word of wisdom. We want to talk a little bit. I think that's pretty clear. If you guys have any questions, write them down as you're listening to this, and you can text me with them. I will try to answer your questions. But I really, this is made and built for you to dig in. But if you need to understand something a little bit better, that's fine. So we're going to talk now about the discerning of the spirits, which is the other part of the revelation gifts. We had the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and now the discerning of spirits. Spirits include God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, angels are ministering spirits, it says, the Bible says. The Bible talks of them as ministering spirits. Humans, the devil, and his evil spirits. So all these are spirits. So we need to have some discernment because there are going to be any one of these present themselves. And so we need to be able to discern. Discern means to distinguish or determine, to separate or differentiate, to tell, to see the difference, to tell the difference. In Hebrew, the word they use for that is to look intently at. It involves seeing. If someone is informed about a spirit but doesn't have a vision of it, can't see it, he doesn't discern it. Well, you don't have to see a spirit to know it's there and it's activity. You can be aware by a sensing, Paul would say perceiving. You can be aware by a sensing or knowing. The discerning of the spirits is only by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And we are enabled then to perceive the things and beings that are in the spirit world. Have you ever heard someone ask, are we alone in the universe? I mean, I'm talking even people outside the church. I mean, certainly the people in the church should know that we are not alone in the universe. But have you ever heard a worldly person say, are we alone in the universe? No, we're not. Natural people see one plane, one dimension. There is another dimension, another world. We are spirits, and we're not just a mind and a body. There is a spirit dimension. People say when they have seen heaven, when they have gone to heaven, they may have died on an operating table or something and came back. They may have seen Jesus, the throne. Well, the way they were able to do that, the way they did it was through discerning of spirits. That's how they were able to see into the spirit world. In Isaiah, he talks and he says, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Well, how did he see it? He was in the spirit world. He was shown that other dimension. God is a spirit. We know that Jesus had a flesh and bone body. His blood, we know, is on the mercy seat. After he showed himself, remember when he told the disciples to touch him? They could touch and feel him after he died and rose. In Ezekiel, it says that God was fire. He was fire. He saw him. That's what he saw when he saw him. The Spirit of God was manifested in their lives and enabled them to see into the spirit world and even beyond the present, as we know with John in Revelation. So that would be word of wisdom and discerning of spirits. That all started in the beginning of Revelation when he said he was in the spirit on the Lord's day, not in the flesh. And another time he says he was caught away in the spirit. Over in 1 John, it tells us to try the spirits. Don't believe every spirit. There is a flesh. There's flesh and there's evil spirits. So even though we don't see what's going on most of the time in the spirit world, we need to be aware and cooperate and not deny the existence of another dimension. There is another dimension. There's a spirit world. So you will see more of the discerning of the spirits maybe in the ministry of the prophet. If you don't have that, if you don't see that in your own life, you're not operating in the ministry of the gift of the prophet. A prophet is another name for seer. We can live and die and never see an angel or see heaven or see a vision of Jesus. It doesn't mean we're unspiritual. These things don't happen every day or for everyone. The nine manifestations are for all of us, and to some degree, they should be manifestation of them in your life. Not necessarily an open vision. That's one of the highest manifestations. There's a lower level that you can see glimpses of things in your spirit or in a dream. I remember Brother Hagin talking about being in the hospital. He had gotten so excited at one of his meetings that he jumped over the altar rail and hit his shoulder, and they took him to the hospital. And so he was in the hospital in the bed, and Lord reassured him he would be fine and said, "I'm coming to talk to you later." Well, he was sitting up in the bed and heard steps coming down the hall, thought it was the nurse or the doctor, looked up, saw white, but then he looked down and he said, okay, this sounds a little natural, but he said he saw hair on the legs. So he looked up and it was Jesus. And Jesus came over and sat in the chair beside him and began to share. So when you have an open vision like that, or you have other open visions like that, that comes with a responsibility. And a lot of times we're to share it with the body of Christ. Out of that experience, I know you guys have all read or should be reading in the next semester the How to Be Led by the Spirit of God book by Kenneth Hagin. That came out of that. Jesus shared with him what to do there. It came out of that. This is discerning of spirits. It's a supernatural insight into the world of spirits, seeing into the spirit world, and it also reveals the kind of spirit behind a supernatural manifestation. Discern simply means to see and tell the difference, to see and tell the difference. So you're telling the difference as to, is this demonic? Or is this of God, or is this just flesh? You are allowed to see and hear and distinguish in that realm when you are having that. So when Jesus ministered, he called them, when he would be casting out demons, he called them unclean. He would say, "You spirit of infirmary." He was identifying them. So we need this type of ministry. This gift does not come through our effort. It is the anointing that God gives us. And what did we read? It's as He intended, as He gives. Do you believe there are people that share their vision, their dreams, and say, "God showed me," and they are not valid? Yes, because either they are misinformed themselves and they truly believe that it was God that showed them that, or they're trying to deceive and be an evil spirit. We need to judge. We are to judge. We're told to judge. Christians have no business or need for fortune tellers, crystal balls, psychics. Some of these are con men and women, but some of it's real, but evil, wrong spirits. So stay away from that stuff. Because you have an open door then. And why are we, lusting after that when the very real thing is in the kingdom of God, in the spirit of God? God is called the Father of spirits. And so we live in our body, which is our house for our spirit. When someone passes, they don't cease to exist. They leave their bodies. And they are present with the Lord if it's a believer. Go to 2 Corinthians 12. And verse 5. Of this same man's experience I will boast, but of myself personally I will not boast, except as regards my infirmities and my weaknesses. Should I desire to boast, I shall not be a witless braggart, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I abstain from it, so that no one may form a higher estimate of me than is justified by what he sees in me or hears from me. And to keep me, this is verse 7, to keep me from being puffed up and too much elated by the exceeding greatness, the preeminence of these revelations, there was given me a thorn, a splinter in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to rack and buffet and harass me, to keep me from being excessively exalted. If we could see into the spirit, we would see lots of things all the time. There should not be a fear of evil spirits. They are afraid of the authority of the name of Jesus and the greater one that lives in us. Do we know that? Do we know who lives inside of us? And so in these verses that I just read, there could be a tendency, if you're being used of the Lord in these things, there could get a tendency, because we do live here, that there would be some fleshiness try to, as he says, should I desire to boast? And he even says, for I shall be speaking the truth. But he's abstaining, because why? He's trying not to be puffed up. Do you remember Balaam, the donkey, where the donkey saw an angel? And the donkey had discerning of spirits, believe it or not, because Balaam didn't see it, but the donkey did. Every donkey does not see into the spirit world. But if he can give a donkey that ability, it's his decision. He can do it for us as well, and will do it, because it's one of the gifts of the spirit. So we need to just stay humble and realize these are gifts from God, given to us for the body and for our benefit as well. There's like times when the word of wisdom comes, and it's a very big encouragement to hear that. So we need our hearts and our eyes and our ears open to the things of the Spirit. That's what God intended from the beginning. And so we know that the Comforter came to live inside of us, and that he's our helper, he's our wisdom, he's our guider. But I think there's more to this Comforter living within us than we thought, and we haven't yet tapped into all that he wants to do. And part of that would be these gifts of the Spirit in operation in our lives. We're going to pick up part two the next time, but that's what we have for today regarding the revelation gifts.